Mr. Armstrong often referred to the two trees in the Garden of Eden. Perhaps they were symbolic trees, but nevertheless two trees each symbolising a way of life. One tree signified obedience to the way that had been ordained by God, and the other involved deciding for oneself what should be considered right and what should be considered wrong. As a result of biblical teachings given to the peoples of the Anglo-Saxon world, the English-speaking nations have for centuries lived by a certain code of conduct, but not anymore, it would seem. In March of last year, that's 2011, Britain's High Court ruled that there is no place in law for Christianity. This was reported by the Daily Telegraph, and I quote, "There is no place in British law for Christian beliefs, despite the established church, for Christian beliefs, despite this country's long history of religious observance and tradition of the established church," two High Court judges said on Monday. Lord Justice Mumby and Mr. Justice Beatson made the remarks when ruling in the case of a Christian couple who were told they could not be foster carers because of their view that homosexuality is wrong. The judges underlined that, in the case of fostering arrangements, at least, the right of homosexuals to equality should take precedence over the right of Christians to manifest their beliefs and moral values. In a ruling with potentially wide-ranging implications, the judges said that Britain was a largely secular, multicultural country in which the laws of the realm did not include Christianity. The United Kingdom is not alone in this outrage of turning from our God. In the United States, a federal judge, Chief United States District Judge Fred Breary's order, prohibits prayer at the Medina Valley Independent School District graduation ceremony, and also forbids students from using specific religious words, including prayer and amen. So much for the commandment found in the book of Exodus, which states that you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It is becoming increasingly difficult to even mention the name of God in school, or even to look to the word of God in public. Schools in Britain and the United States no longer teach Christian values. As a result of the recent LIBOR scandal has shown, even the word of bank officials is no longer reliable. I wonder if it ever was, but that is beside the point. My overall purpose today is to bring into focus what is happening at this time as a result of disobedience or even total disregard of the laws of God. Because all the fruits of the knowledge of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, are there for us to see. This is aversion therapy being taken to ever new heights. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, where we will read from chapter 28 and beginning in verse 15. Here we are shown the fruits of disregarding the laws of our Creator God. Have our nations listened to the word of God? I don't think I need answer that one. Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verse 15, reads as follows. "But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field." And verse 17, "Cursed shall be your basket and your store." Yesterday, there were pictures on the television news of slaughter in a Denver, Colorado cinema. 12 were killed at 12:30 a.m. as parents and their children watched the latest Batman film. Whatever were parents thinking about taking their children to watch a Batman film at midnight? But then surely slaughter like this is just one more example of being cursed in the city. As Ezekiel said, the land is full of bloody crimes and the city is full of violence. Our nations have also been cursed in the field. Earlier this month, television news showed pictures of not just sodden fields of potatoes in England, but flooded fields of potatoes. Earlier this year, most of Britain was in a drought condition. Then June was almost the wettest month of June on record. So far, in July, we have seen flash floods in very many parts of the country. In the United States, where the Midwest is regarded as the breadbasket of the world, searing heat, searing drought, has devastated wheat and soy crops. The prospect for the August or September harvest is gloomy. The effect on food prices will be felt by every family on the planet. The rider on the black horse carried a pair of scales in his hands, and he said a measure of wheat for a day's wage and three measures of barley for a day's wage. Then, of course, there is a scripture that a growing number of people would like to see removed from the Bible. I'm referring, of course, to Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. This is a law which specifically outlaws homosexual conduct. But the Anglo-Saxon world has gone beyond Christianity. It is, according to many authorities, a post-Christian society. And anything goes. Even the British Parliament in London is seeking to rewrite the meaning of the word marriage. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13, we read the following. If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. In June, it was reported by the Daily Telegraph that teachers could be forced to promote and teach gay marriage in the classroom, thus instilling in impressionable young minds a totally abhorrent view of marriage and of the sexual relationship, one that is totally against the teachings of Scripture. Then beyond that, the Episcopal Church in the United States, and the Episcopal Church is the equivalent of the Anglican Church in America, approves a same-sex blessing service, which they claim is not a marriage ceremony. In Britain, and in many parts of the states of America, same-sex civil partnerships carry the same rights that were formerly conferred only upon heterosexual union. Turn with me now to the book of Amos, where we'll read from chapter 4 and verse 9. In Deuteronomy, which we read earlier, God said, if we as a people disobeyed his commands, we would be cursed in the field, in our basket, and in our store. Today we see on our television screens withered crops of corn and soy, flooded fields of potatoes, and add to that reports of genetically modified pests and weeds bringing destruction to yet more crops. I'd like you to keep your finger in Amos chapter 4, but we'll read verse 9, which reads as follows. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmerworm devoured them, yet you have not returned unto me, says the Eternal. Harvests are forecast to be exceedingly poor this year. Food prices will climb to levels not yet seen for many years, or even seen at all. The headlines from the church website yesterday said, World brace for new food crisis and crops suffer as drought intensify in the United States breadbasket. Quote, global strategist David Nelson with Rabobank is quoted as saying, today, the US crop disaster is real, whereas to some degree, the big run-up in prices in 2008 was speculatively driven. So the threat of much higher food prices looks certain, and as the anticipated harvest quantity shrinks, so we can see more headlines like this. On the 17th, the Daily Mail reported that Heavy downpours destroying and pushing up food prices, destroying crops and pushing up food prices. The weather problems are not confined to the United States and the United Kingdom alone. During the past few days, devastating tornadoes have brought devastation to many parts of Poland. And floods in the former Soviet Union, China and Japan have caused absolute horrendous effects. These weather conditions are worldwide and will have a devastating effect on food prices and household budgets. Additionally, in March, a report appeared in the church website about rootworms under the headline, "Scientists Warn EPA," that's the Environmental Protection Agency, "over Monsanto's GMO crop failures, dangers specifically against rootworms." The EPA has already acknowledged that Monsanto's GMO crops are creating resistant rootworms, which are now ravaging the GMO crops as they mutate to the biopesticide used, known as Bacillus thuringiensis, or BT. I hope I pronounced that correctly. It doesn't take a genius to realise that something terribly wrong is happening with our weather today. It isn't just our weather either. It appears to be worldwide. It's not confined to one continent or even to one hemisphere. The jet stream across the United Kingdom was too far south during the early spring and early summer, bringing rain and floods to southern and middle England. Now, temperate, moderately dry weather conditions are needed for the growing season. Now the jet stream has moved to the north, and so Scotland and Northern Ireland are now being drenched. And so for Britain and the United States, a word from Amos 4 and verses 7 to 8 appear even more appropriate. Verse 7. "And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain on one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the other piece whereupon it rained not withered. Two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have they not returned unto me, says the Eternal." But mankind, it would appear, still has a desire to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when we see all these things happening, we should realise that this is the result of national disobedience. It is in the light of these prophecies that we should view the news items that we see on the church website and that we see on news, television, and that we read in the newspapers. It is the result of taking our own choices and making our own decisions that have led to this particular impasse that we now find in the farming community.